Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From Barangaroo Studios, the AusBiz COB is the key stuff you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Well, welcome to the COB by AusBiz on this Friday afternoon. Gemma Acton here, joined by Scuddy. Good to see you, Scuddy.
Likewise. And before I go and kick off things, I was just going to say a special shout out to my mum. Happy birthday, Mum.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Scott. And happy Thanksgiving to any Americans. It's a bit of an odd one this year, but hopefully you are doing it from the safety of your own home if you are listening to President-elect Joe Biden, or with friends if you're listening to current President Donald Trump.
One way or another, we know that it's going to be a bad day if you're a turkey.
Absolutely, unless you're the rare one that gets the presidential pardon.
Cobb.
So I actually had the last week off work and did my best, as they advise you to do, to stay away from much news. I haven't been tracking the markets or the data as closely. Had a bit of a baptism of fire today trying to catch up on everything. But what stood out to you this week?
What stood out to me was it was another Monday and another vaccine announcement, which was welcomed by the market, although I'm going to say recently the AstraZeneca vaccine has been a few question marks raised, but a lot more optimism, a lot of excitement about reopening of the economy and the like. Counter that against some terrible numbers, particularly in the United States when it comes to COVID. So it's this real strange environment where markets are cheering. They're like hitting either fresh all-time highs or fresh multi-month highs, in Australia's case, nine-month highs. But at the same time, you're looking around the world and it still looks like a very dire situation. So very strange outcome to go and kind of navigate for an investor.
And it's obviously we can't pinpoint too much on what NAB trade clients are doing because it's just a small pool. But very interesting hearing that they just keep building up their cash balances. Same sort of idea where they have just ridden the momentum from about April onwards, ridden it up. And now just thinking, gosh, things are just looking a little unstable, a little risky. The risks are mounting, but because we keep on getting these glimmers of hope through vaccines, etc., just feeling that perhaps the risks are stacking up more quickly than we're actually realizing.
Yeah, there's a lot of optimism, too much optimism, I think, earlier in the week. It just seems to be that the markets were just pushing everything to the side. Anything that's bad news, don't worry about it, it's fine, just keep going higher. And I got a little bit uncomfortable. I've seen enough cycles now to go and think, well, I still think longer term we're going to go higher, but I took a little bit off the table this week because it just felt like things were getting a bit frothy. So it's interesting to see what's going on. I'm not surprised others are a bit cautious. We're seeing today here in the local market, like another down day. That's two in a row. So just coming off, and it's probably a healthy thing given the speed at which we've gone up. But interesting that it's a little bit of caution creeping in now in what should be like a period coming up, which is very strong traditionally for equities.
That's right. Yeah, the final December burst before we got into the quieter end of year January period. And one thing that certainly caught my eye today is what's happening with poor old Treasury Wine Estates. Now, that's had a pretty difficult year already for various reasons, but now we have the news that China, as of tomorrow, is going to have a real further crackdown on Australian wine exports.
Yeah, so there was already some tariffs and some investigations were underway, but now China's gone the whole hog, and tariffs on some products are, I think, over 200%. So another escalation in those tensions, and I think everyone just sits back and waits now and says, well, how long until it's iron ore? Because we seem to be going, ticking them all off as we go along here, and at some point you've got to wonder, well, the true economic carnage, if the Chinese want to go and do it for a prolonged period of time, which I don't think they will, but if they wanted to, you just target iron ore imports because that would have a major impact on our domestic economy, given the amount of income that comes through from those imports.
Well, the question I keep asking is, when are we going to do more about diversifying our client base, because our customer base, because clearly it's an unsustainable situation if the only industry that's surviving without that concern right now is iron ore. I'm sure most other industries are trembling.
Yes, well, we've just recently signed the new trade deal, the regional trade deal. So this is a perfect opportunity for Australian companies out there. And I talked about this with Nadine yesterday on the podcast as well, to diversify and look to go and find customers beyond China. Everyone knows the opportunity that exists there. But you know, what we've seen recently is that, you know, depends on which side you want to go and take, but I can't see anything that Australia's really done to go and be like to the point where you want to go and just target us continually. But that's what's happening. So if you're out there, you're a senior exec, you've got to know you go and import into to China. The perfect opportunity to go and look and see if you find opportunities elsewhere.
Now, one share which has been had a fantastic Friday, terrific end to the week, is Bega Cheese, up about 9.5% last time I looked about 10 minutes ago. And we know that was also today's stock of the day. So we did check in with a couple of our analysts to ask them what they thought. Let's have a listen to what Julia Lee from Berman Invest had to say.
I think it makes sense. It really adds to its portfolios. There's obvious synergies there. And look, the market seemed to like it. They raised some capital at a very discounted price of $4.60. And today the shares are up by 8%. So I guess when you have a look at Bega, there's a number of different levers as you look at. One is commodity prices or milk prices. Yeah. You look at the milk supply, and look, milk supply this financial year is probably going to be lower than last financial year. But on the flip side, you're starting to see milk powder prices starting to rise, and that's going to have a positive impact to EBIT. And then the cost savings, they've just been working on efficiency gains, and that's really going to help as well. So look, I think this is a good move by Bega. But usually when you see strength in a move like that, it speaks to further demand. So yes.
This is one of the Australia's largest national cold chain distribution network. So this is to convenience stores, to fast food outlets and food supply. So this does give Bega a little bit more reach. Yeah. It does well. They're going to be doing debt and equity. So that's great, because there will be an SPP for all the shareholders at home. They will be able to get access to that, as Julia said, at $4.60. And we know the Chinese do love our milk brands. Yeah. So I think it's a buy from me.
And that was Adam Dawes from Shaw and Partners. So a tick from both of the analysts today, but sadly we can't add it to our portfolio for AusBiz because it's already in there.
Yeah, it's already in there, making you strong, like the bones, the calcium and the like. But a lot of optimism there. So beefing up its dairy divisions and things like that. So you can see it wants to become that agricultural play. Maybe not too much into China for the time being though.
Probably not. And week ahead. Now, the last week of the month this month, which is often quite quiet when it comes to data releases, etc. But then things do tend to pick up in the first week of the month again. Anything particularly on your radar?
You've got RBA, you've got PMIs. There's lots of different things out there. It is. It's quite. I still don't quite understand why we have so many releases at the first week of the month, and then not more of a staggered approach. But I think I'm beating a dead horse there. It's not going to go and work. But
expect anything out of the RBA?
No, I think it's set and forget for the time being. Things are looking pretty good here. Of course, abroad, not so much, but no. Then you've got this vaccine optimism in the background. So I suspect the banks are going to be pretty relaxed. Will you go and say something about where the Aussie dollar is, given where maybe iron ore prices are? Probably not. Probably mention it, but not really get to any concern. So I think it's just going to be like a tick box kind of exercise, and then we'll reconvene in early February next year, and then hopefully have a bit more clarity about what exactly is going on.
Yeah, and speaking of clarity, another market searching around for some clarity is oil. I'm finding it fascinating to watch at the moment, because you do have this promising vaccine news, which, yes, there are setbacks, but it does feel like two steps forward and one step back rather than the other way around, so inching forward, which is clearly tremendously good news for oil. Then you contrast that with the fact that OPEC Plus has been holding back, set to bulk up their supply again, as well as the long-term fundamental changes going against oil. You know, once BP rebrands itself to become beyond petroleum, you know, the writing is pretty much on the wall.
Yeah, it's renewables is sounds like a long way off when BP is talking about it, but you know, never know what's going to happen. It could be an accelerated task, but. Yeah, you know, everyone kind of expects now that I think OPEC Plus, when it meets next week, will go and announce that it will extend its current production levels, the cut, so 7.7 million barrels a day below pre-pandemic levels for another 3 months. One thing that could really put the cat amongst the pigeons is something that avoids that. So, yeah, a scenario where potentially you could go and reduce output again, maybe a million barrels or so, who knows, because that would certainly go and put a big, another leg higher in our crude prices. Alternatively, if it decides that, well, the vaccine's on the way, no, we want to go and keep market share, let's go and follow through and add another 2 million barrels per day. Well, the oil price will not stay where it is at the moment. It will be significantly lower. So I'm interested to see what happens there. You just don't know with OPEC Plus. So the most rational response is often not what actually comes to about.
No, that's right. But then, of course, we have what happens with the Biden presidency, whether we get talking to Iran again. So much to look forward to in the new year. But when we convene next week, it'll be, that must be the last day of November. Just heading into the silly season.
Yes, so the start of December. What a year! It's been a long year and a short year in so many ways. But we'll see what happens. December, you know, we know here in Australia and typically around the world, don't know what happens. If things start slowing down by about probably the end of the first week. Mm. You start getting the school holidays kicking through. So we'll see what happens this year. I think the markets run very hard in anticipation of year end as well. So whether we get the same kind of outcome, who knows? But certainly there'll be lots to go and digest, lots of figures, and of course those geopolitical tensions simmering away in the background.
Well, while I haven't run it all hard this week, I've just been relaxing at home with my family. I know that you have, and no doubt our audience has as well. So I think I'll release you all to go and enjoy your Friday evenings and the rest of the weekend, and see you back here next week.
Yeah, go clink a glass, and everyone out there, have a great weekend, and we'll see you bright and early on Monday.
Yeah, go and have a great weekend. Cheers.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.